Hello.
Hello, Mariah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I guess we were asking you, but we couldn't hear you before.
I know. I don't know why. I'm not really sure. So what part would you like me to repeat? I know I started talking about putting people in groups and choosing their topics. And
hi there.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mariah.
Hi there. So I have a perfect one. If you could pick up with... Oh, well, Michelle, you want to ask her?
Hey, guys.
Hey. So I think Michelle was going to ask Mariah what we were talking about the other day. But let me ask Rick a question. Rick, are you satisfied with what we did?
I'm fine with that, yeah.
Okay, so Michelle or Mariah, did you need Rick to stay around for the next episode?
No, I think it's great.
I'm happy to stay or help in any way.
No, I think we're going to go back to character, Rick. So, I mean, unless you want to add to character, which I don't mind if you do at all, we're going to go back to a different C and finish up the character podcast.
Okay.
So it's up to you. You're
if you need me, I'm here. If you want me to talk about the character counts program that we do or anything like that with focusing on positivity, I don't know if that goes hand in hand with your
it
chapter.
It does, yeah. We that might be great.
Put a link to your blog.
I'd be more than happy to talk about it.
So stay on, because it sounds like I know Mariah did a big piece, and then I'm not sure the question. If you can just let me know the question you're going to ask me, I like having just a second or two to jot down like the key points of my response.
You can say whatever you want.
What is the question being asked?
You could say what programs will help, or how you support character as a principal. You could just say how important character is. I mean, you really can say
whatever
you want.
Okay. Or Mariah, after I'm done asking you the question about the piece of technology that you use in your classroom, maybe I could ask her why it's important, you said, or.
Right. Are you going to ask? Yeah, just say, you know, we have a specialist. We have a principal that does a great job with character. Would you like to share anything with us, you know, about character?
Okay. All right.
Both of you guys.
So I
would say ask me the same question, because as a dean of students, and I'll just talk about our character program that focuses on positive, you know, character attribution, and, you know, how we get teachers to do all that good stuff. And I'll, you know, I can go on for a minute or two on that.
I can ask both of you guys the question if you want me to. Okay.
Sure.
Perfect.
Or you can just ask the question and we'll do what we did in the last one and we'll just go back to back.
Okay. you want to do that one right now?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let me just count them down and I'll go in 5, 4, 3 and then you can go. Okay.
Okay.
Who's going to go first?
That's better when we just have a pattern. Rick, why don't you go first? We'll follow what we did last time. That way, once you're done,
okay,
you're able to just go right on in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yes.
So here we go. Mariah will be asking questions in 5, 4, 3.
You know, Jonathan, we really do have two experts on character, and both of them, one of them is dean of students, another one is a principal, and they do phenomenal jobs at their school incorporating it into all aspects. So do you mind if we hear from them?
Oh, not at all. Please.
All right. Maybe
the floor is yours.
Maybe Rick could go first.
Well, as a dean of students, typically my job has always been a disciplinarian. And recently I've been able to really flip how I do my job. And we've rolled out a character counts program where teachers are able to give positive referrals for students when they're noticed doing the right thing. And that could be as simple as just coming to class prepared, or, you know, staying after and helping another student. And we attribute to our character counts program and, you know, the different pillars of character through the Josephine Institute. But what's great is when a teacher nominates a student, it goes in that student's behavior profile, where as an administrator, we see not only what we always typically would see, just negative behavior, but now we also get to see all the positive behavior. So these behavior profiles have really started to shift. And I'm able to look at a student and see positive, positive, positive. Oh, this one little negative incident, and positive, positive. And it's been a really amazing thing. And our teachers have caught on and we're almost up to 10,000 student nominations by teachers just this school year. We have roughly 80% of all of our students being nominated by almost 100% of teachers. And so it's really started to shift the mindset of how we deal with students and how we look at them on a daily basis. And it really focuses on encouraging the students to model good character. And I think that's something great we've been doing. Sorry,
yeah. Yes, I really appreciate all that Rick has said, because I think it absolutely, I know it begins with the belief system of a staff, as well as the belief system of the student themselves. And so I think that's where you start first, is by shifting that belief system and changing that paradigm so that people believe that they have worth and that they have potential, and that perhaps they might make a bad choice at a time, but they can learn from that, and that does not define them, but they have an opportunity to continue to grow and change and become who they would like to be. There are two quotes at my school that we use all of the time and we refer to. The first is by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which I'm probably sure you're very familiar with. He says, intelligence plus character, that is the goal of true education. And that drives our vision and our mission at my site. Yes, the academics are important, but they are one piece. Building character is as equally as important. And so we really focus on the whole child and being able to build and help the children build that character in themselves. And as staff members, we're continually engaging in that process as well, because it is an inside out process and staff members model the way for the students. And so it really takes all of us engaging in this work. The second quote, one of our favorites, is by Stephen Covey. And he says, leadership is communicating others' worth and potential so clearly that they are inspired to see it in themselves. And we absolutely approach every student from an asset model way of thinking, which is reinforcing positive behaviors as opposed to that deficit model thinking. And I'm really proud to say that we are a leader in Me School. We teach the students the 7 habits of highly effective people. And as staff members, we also are still learning and living them ourselves. And another great thing that happens at our school on a very routine basis is that we engage in restorative practices. We use restorative conferences, we use restorative circles. And so when a student does make a choice that isn't what any of us wanted, we take that opportunity to really learn and grow from it. And it takes quite a bit longer than just traditional punishment, if you will, but we don't see those behaviors repeated because it really does become a learning opportunity. There's a quote, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it goes something along the lines that, you know, we teach children how to multiply and we teach children how to read and we teach children how to write. And when it comes to behavior, usually we punish. And so the idea is to teach and to continually teach, because it's a learning process even for adults. Adults are still learning and adults are still developing their character. So character is essential, not only for education, but for our society. If we want to really produce citizens who are going to contribute and really give back to society, we have to teach character and we have to live it.
Absolutely. And I feel like Rick and Michelle, you both are amazing role models. And I know you make a tremendous impact at your schools. We're so fortunate to be able to have a moment with both of you, because I know you're very busy, both getting your doctorate. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. I don't know how you do it, being a student and principal. So thank you for your time. We really appreciate everything you've shared with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you. Jonathan, do you have anything else to add?
No, I think you said it perfectly.
Well, thank you. What a great opportunity to be able to all to interview you guys. So we appreciate it.
For sure.
All right. Take care. You too.
All right. Have a good evening, guys.
Okay. Are we signing off now, guys?
We can. Yeah, we can all sign off if you want. And then whenever we want to get together, I have something a little bit on creativity that I could share, read, kind of like a commercial. I don't know, something like that.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that right. If Rick and Michelle wanted to, we do that right now. We're actually at 9:48, and the last one went on till about 12 minutes. So do you want to try to jump right in right now?
Is that okay if I add something about creativity?
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. I was just thinking about how important it is to create. And so often when we create, it's not a real job. And so as adults, sometimes we don't encourage kids to create. My mother-in-law is a great example of that. She started painting at 3 and everybody told her, you are not going to make any money painting. Well, today she has 2 art galleries, one in Catalina and one in Laguna Beach. And she is 84 and still painting. And she, you know, painted the recent Pope. But I want to say to each person, we all have something to create. And it can simply be for the love of it. If the only person it saves is you, that's enough. In fact, that's a quote I have right next to where I study and where I write is, let me say it one more time. If the only person it saves is you, that's enough. So I just say, create. If you have something brewing, create. So that quote is by one of my favorite authors, Jen Hatmaker, and she encourages everybody to make something beautiful, and there's never going to be too much beauty in this world. So encourage it in your students. Encourage it in yourself, because we all, when we create, we feel more ourselves than any other time. So as we're role modeling that, our students will emulate that, and they'll be creative too.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Mariah, I have your grandmother's painting in my bedroom, a lithograph I got in Catalina. No. I'm serious. She's like one of my favorite art paintings.
Get out of here.
We've got to get you some more, okay?
I'd like one too.
See some real art? Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love her art. I love the studio. I couldn't afford like the big pieces, but I got like one of the lithographs of the lady on the rocks, like it's like 1982 Mayor or something like that.
Yep, that's her. Wow. That's her. Well, we'll have to have you over, and you guys can all get a private tour. The family, awesome. Friends, okay?
That'd be really great. Gosh, I was like in awe when I heard you say that, Catalina, and then I started Dude, I have that painting in my bedroom. Like it's framed in my bedroom.
That's so awesome.
I love it, and you know what? She loves it. It doesn't matter if she's not feeling well. She had back surgery, and she's still painting. Because it's her, and she
it's passion, her passion.
Yes, she doesn't do it for money, although, you know, God has blessed her in that way. But she does because that is her passion, and she creates for the love of it.
That's wonderful.
Oh, cool. I see the kid. Oh, that's awesome.
And you know, as you were talking, though, I noticed that there was some feedback, or I think it might have been that the speaker, your phone might have been too close to your mouth. I'm not sure. So I like the point Michelle made, is that we may have to re-record some of these if we listen to the audio and I can't take out the feedback. Okay. Are you guys available tomorrow if we need to? If so, what time?
Tomorrow after school is great. 5?
2:30?
Oh. I'm available after I'm not available till after like 4:30 tomorrow.
4:30 or 5.
That works better for me.
All right.
Okay, so I'll send you guys an email and let you know how it went tomorrow morning or sometime in the morning. And if needed,
That sounds great.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. Yep. You're doing a killer job, dude.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Good job to everyone.
Thank you. Do you guys have any other questions?
We want to say thank you.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. No, thank you. I really enjoyed doing this.
Okay. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hello.
All right.
Hello.
Hi.
Is everyone here?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and so the next segment will be factors that contribute to a creative classroom. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Hello and welcome back. In case you just joined us, we've been talking to educators from Southern California. And before we get to our next question, could I go around the room and could you please introduce yourself and tell us your name and what you do? Rick?
Hi, my name is Rick Nichols, and I'm a dean of students at a high school in Downey, California.
Hi, my name is Michelle Echeverry, and I am a principal in Romo Land, California.
Hi, my name is Mariah Mayer. I'm a sixth grade teacher at Bernice Ayer Middle School.
And I'd like to welcome you all to the show. So let's just jump right in. Factors, what would you say are some factors that contribute to a creative classroom? Rick?
First of all, I think teachers need to prepare their classrooms for creativity. And that needs to start with the environment itself. The physical arrangement of tables and chairs, we need to go away from that traditional thought process where students are all lined up in rows, but really have some variety, a variety of different type of seats, some options on different writing tablets or tables in a sense, because we need to really go away from those old thought processes where we used to just drill and kill students with activities and standards and create opportunities for creativity. And I feel that the environment really is the place to start to stimulate that opportunity.
Thank you for sharing. Michelle?
I agree. The environment completely changes the way people behave in that environment. In addition, I would say a couple other key factors are the collaboration that happens with teachers and their students and teachers and other teachers. And that can be through PLC, that can be in the classroom, that can even be through social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook. As ideas are shared for learning how to build this creative classroom, then it's easier for teachers to be able to take risk. And that leads me to my second key factor is it's very hard as an educator, especially if we're not necessarily digital natives, to be able to let go of some of that control and take some of those risks and be willing to try something new and different that we are not accustomed to. And especially if we don't necessarily love technology or it scares us a little bit, that can sometimes feel like a risk as well. So I think that we really have to build that trust with our other colleagues, but our students as well. Students are amazing. And when we are able to turn some things over to them, it's so often that they're able to teach us. And I think that once we get to that point, that's where we can really see creativity really blossom.
Yes, I agree. But I have to say that, you know, as an educator, there are times that I'm actually afraid to leave my comfort zone. And I know you kind of mentioned that. Yeah, so Mariah?
Yes, I agree with you, Rick. I agree with you, Michelle. The way that you set up your classroom is extremely important. So something that I've done differently is now I have tables. And not only do I have tables, but I have them work in groups. And I don't always assign them their groups, but I allow them to choose their groups, along with choosing their topics, along with choosing how they're going to express the topic. And the way I monitor this is with encouragement. I walk around and encourage each student. I kind of see what they're going to do, make suggestions. But students are fueled by positive words and encouragement. And that's kind of what keeps them going, really keeps them to the next level. So many of us as adults kind of stop being creative, with the exception of the individuals all on this phone. You guys are extremely creative. But a lot of us as adults stop being creative. We don't have time to create. We don't have energy to create. But I have to say to everybody listening, you have something to create. You might be a writer. You might be a speaker. But go with that. And you don't need to make money, but go with whatever it is you're feeling like you should create, because that's inside you and it needs to come out. And when it doesn't come out, there's frustration. And I think with students too, if we don't allow that to come out and we just say, this is how it has to look and this is how it has to be, they get frustrated.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
Yes, I'm back. It just dropped me. Sorry.
Rick, you back?
Yep.
Yeah. Michelle, I think what happens after 5 minutes, it cuts off, and so I'll have to call you back. So while we're – I think Mariah will be clicking in a second, but I'll go ahead and start, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
And the first question, can you give that to me again, Rick, how we create a classroom with creativity? Is it?
Yeah, what are ways we allow students – how are ways we allow students to be creative within our classrooms, our schools?
Okay. All right. In 5, 4, 3. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Beyond the Cloud. My name is Jonathan Wright, and this is the show that allows us to talk to educators.
Oh. Hello.
And today we're talking with Rick, Mariah, and Michelle. And the question I have for the three of you today is, how do we create a classroom using creativity? Which one would you like? Who would like to go first?
Hey, this is Rick. I'll go ahead and go. I think creating a creative classroom requires first an environment that is welcoming and friendly to creativity. There needs to be freedom and ability for the students to have some choice in how they're going to do their work. And everything should be unique, but yet have a purpose. And hopefully through their work, they'll be able to find a solution to a problem in a creative way and using different technology sources that are available in our schools.
Okay, thank you. Michelle?
Yes, I would agree with that. And I would also add that technology is, we're very fortunate that technology allows us to be even more creative at this time by taking things that students are already familiar with and teachers as well, and building upon it and changing it through the use of technology. And it doesn't always have to only be done through technology. It can be done paper and pencil as well. But there are so many new tools that are available via technology that we can take concepts that are familiar to us and familiar to students. And we really, through preparation, can then allow students to engage in something. And I think it's great that in Bloom's new taxonomy, creativity is the highest order and level of thinking. It really means we're taking something and making it our own by adding that unique personal touch and making it ours that we get to then share out.
Well, thank you, Michelle. I really like what you said about technology making us more creative. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. Mariah?
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. A couple things I've been doing in my class, specifically with my accelerated social studies, is I've been giving the students a topic. Of course, all of these topics are things that we want them to know. But instead of just having them read the textbook, I'm saying to them, I want you to research the topic, and I want you to teach the class. However you want to teach the class, go for it. Just make sure you include this information. So today, I had students dressed up like Greek gods and goddesses. They made their own t-shirts. They put together these amazing presentations, and they love to quiz each other, even though that is not part of the requirement. It's absolutely amazing, and they love it. Another thing I do to promote creativity is when we're doing our gratitude journals, instead of just having them write, I also say if you'd like to do gratitude art. And so some of my students have been creating amazing things with images, quotes, things that they've kind of collected, things that they love, that they are grateful. And then they share this with the class. So that those are two ways that I promote creativity in my class.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And we will be right back with more after this commercial break. So what happened is we're at 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Right. And you remember what we said about that coming up to the 4 minute mark?
Yep.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to hang up and then I'm going to call you each back. And then, but Rick, before we do that, what would be our part two? What's going to be the second segment or really anybody, Michelle or Mariah, Rick, what do you think we should address in our part two?
How about factors that contribute to like a creative classroom, because there's a good quote here: creativity doesn't just happen by chance. Mm-hmm. The prepared environment nourishes it.
Yes.
Okay. Factors that contribute to a creative environment.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll call you guys right back. Okay. Bye bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.